This morning was the second part of a three-part sermon, and it has to do with prophecy. And not the typical concept of prophecy that seems to be so popular among a lot of Christians, but it's the essence of prophecy. Prophecy includes far more than just, well, thus saith the Lord in 5 days, such and such and all that. That's part of prophecy. But prophecy is also declaring the Word of God. And sometimes that doesn't go over too well. In the ministry of a prophet, many times they're pretty straightforward. But every Christian is supposed to operate prophetically, but not called necessarily to the office of a prophet. And to operate prophetically means to deliver the Word of God, to speak the Word of God. Now, we won't turn to it. I'm going to review very briefly. This message began on this past Wednesday night with a sermon titled, The Watchman Must Speak. And in Isaiah 21, what we saw was that God said, get a watchman and let him declare what he sees. And then the watchman began to speak. And after the watchman spoke, that's when God came in and said, Babylon has fallen. Babylon has fallen. So the imagery is that the watchman speaks prophetically. Now, you'll have some people today who may say things like, I'm called to the ministry of watchmen. Well, there's no such thing. A watchman is, for today, a watchman really would be all of us. We're supposed to be aware of what is happening. And sadly, a lot of Christians aren't. When we speak specifically about what's happening in our nation and what is happening as far as the politics are concerned, what I have found out, and I'm not going to go into detail, but I have found out that the whole matter of voter fraud, it goes all the way back to when John F. Kennedy was elected. And there's evidence on this now that I was unaware of, but it's come out. And it's confirmed evidence. In fact, I don't want to go too far on that. We're facing something in this country right now that's been going on, but I truly believe that both Satan and the liberals have overplayed their hand this time. They got a little too confident and they moved faster than what they have in the past because they've been able to keep things secret for a long time. And we tend to want to believe the best of everybody. And when we hear things about voter fraud and just a lot of the stuff that's been coming out, we really don't want to believe it. Because when you start hearing the details of these things, it sounds like some kind of a spy movie. It doesn't seem real. We just don't want to believe that there are people who actually do these things. And that's what those people are counting on. That we're not going to believe they would do this. They're counting on our ignorance, our willingness to remain ignorant, our denial of what is really happening, and our inaction. Well, there's a lot of action going on now like never before. A lot of people don't want to believe this, and I'm not going to go off on another tangent, but it happened. The voter fraud this time around happened. We're in a warfare. And the pattern that we see in Scripture is that God gives a message. He gives His Word, and then He expects His Word to be declared. This gets over into the area of what I mentioned this morning, prophetic warfare. We saw an example of it in the life of Jesus. When He was in the wilderness, and the devil came at Him, said, well, you know, if you be the Son of God, do this, do that, do the other. And then Jesus, He didn't pray. He didn't ask anybody to pray for Him. He didn't lift His hands and start worshiping. Now, let me explain what I mean. A few moments ago, we were singing a song about this, how I fight my battles, and it's all about praise and worship. And I have taught a lot on praise and worship as a form of spiritual warfare. That all is true. But the part that a lot of Christians seem to have left out, and that I have not emphasized and not fully recognized, has been the aspect of prophetic warfare, the declaration of the Word of God. So when Jesus was approached by Satan in the wilderness, and Satan is saying, well, you know, if you're the Son of God, do this. And instead of Jesus lifting his hands and starting, you know, praise God, glory to God, hallelujah, thank you, God, what he did was prophetically engage the enemy in warfare. He engaged him with the Word. It is written. And he spoke the Word. And after a while, Satan had enough and he left. But he came back again. The Bible says he left, and, you know, till a more opportune time. But nevertheless, we go into 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, Philippians 3, verse 17 through 19, and James 4, verse 4. And what we see from God Himself is a revelation that there are people He considers to be His enemies. And in those passages, there is no reference at all to people being demon-possessed or demon-influenced. They are references to people who essentially have hardened their heart, taken a position that is opposed to God, His Word, truth, and righteousness, and this is how they're living. And that would include both the lost and, sadly, Christians. Enemies of the cross. Enemies of God. Enemies of Christ. Okay, if that's what they are, and if they are loving the world, and again, a lot of Christians are like this, if they're loving the world more than they are loving God, then they are promoting the things of the world more than they are the things of God. This is why you have a lot of Christians today who are talking about the they're in favor of abortion. And in fact, there's a man who's a pastor in Georgia running for Senate who stands up and he says that abortion is compatible with his Christianity, his belief in God. That's ludicrous. Now, I'll just tell you, that guy's going to hell. You cannot, it's one thing to believe that as a Christian, but it's another thing to stand up in a pulpit and lead a flock in that direction. The man is going to hell. And anybody who votes for him is probably going to hell with him. Because you cannot love the world, the things of the world, and stand in agreement with fallen standards and principles and still expect to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. It is not going to happen. Ever. Ever. And so we have these people out there, and it's as though that, we focused a lot over the years in the body of Christ on spiritual warfare, and well, we should, because it's real. The Bible in Ephesians chapter 6 talks about powers, principalities, etc., and so forth. Right? So we know that there's spiritual warfare. But we also know that this warfare includes people who've hardened their hearts and seared their conscience. Think about what happened in the Old Testament with David. Here's Goliath. Goliath is a Philistine. And nobody else in the Jewish army wanted to go out and fight him. So David said, you know what? That guy's a jerk. Now I'm paraphrasing. But he referred to him as an uncircumcised Philistine. What that meant was, that man does not have a covenant with God. And he is coming up against those who do have a covenant with God. Therefore, if I stand on the covenant, I will win this battle. So he marches out there. And the one thing, well, out of the many things he didn't do, he didn't say, now, Mr. Goliath, you're a big dude, but come, let us reason together. That's what a lot of, now listen to me, that's what a lot of people and Christians want to do in this world today. War! We don't need war! We don't need war! Okay, then tell the aggressors to stand down. Look, you can't reason with an aggressor. You cannot reason with a hardened heart. You cannot reason with somebody who says, hey, we can get along just as long as you let me dominate you. As long as you let me control your life, we'll get along. No problem. And that is exactly what a lot of Christians are saying. Look, I don't mean to sound, I don't like warfare. I don't like people dying and all. But you know what? War is good when it stops the aggression. You're not going to, never in history, never have you ever been able to permanently put an end to the aggression of the aggressors by simply sitting down and having tea and crumpets. It hasn't happened. They'll sit down and have tea and crumpets with you and the whole time lie through their teeth. And while you're talking peace, peace, they're in the background setting up war and attack. And I'm telling you, you go through Scripture, and what you find out, if you just read through the Old Testament, you have all these aggressor nations. God identifies them. You're going to be hard-pressed to find where God keeps saying they're all demon-possessed. If it was a matter of being demon-possessed, couldn't they have dealt with it from that perspective? But no, they didn't. Well, but they weren't born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. Yeah, well, you know what? They could have interceded. Are you following what I'm saying? No, instead, God said, you go in there and you kill them. You go in there, you kill them. Now, that's just the way it is. And I tell you right now, a lot of Christians have a difficult time with a message like this. And that's one of the reasons why this nation is in the mess it's in right now. People don't want to confront. I've said this so many times in the past. Laws for the lawless and force is for the rebellious. And there comes a time you've got to use force. If you don't think so, if somebody breaks into your house, ask them to sit down and reason. And they'll say, well, no problem. Just as soon as I take your TV and your stereo and your money and, hey, you know what? Maybe your children too. No. It's not going to happen. You and I both know you're not going to sit back and just... Now, I told you, don't you be taking that. Now, sir, excuse me, this is not right. Oh, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Well, you might need to give him a flying drop kick. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus and with my knuckles. I'll give you the what for. Anyway, we see in Scripture over and over again where, yeah, love your enemies and pray for them and so on and so forth, but... Sometimes you have to take a stand. We see that in the life of Jesus. We see that in other examples in the New Testament, let alone the Old Testament. So what we have then is a very serious situation. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So we have to fight these things spiritually. That doesn't mean that there doesn't come a time to take up the sword. But what it means is, we need to fight spiritually because the aggressors, their spirit is not right with God. Well, look over in Amos chapter 3. This is where we left off this morning. Amos chapter 3. And here in Amos chapter 3, in verse 1, hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying... Now stop right there. This didn't happen right after they crossed over the Jordan into the Promised Land. Okay, this is centuries later. And God's reminding them of what He did. He says, verse 2, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together except they be agreed? We like to quote that verse a lot, but what God is saying is, if you're not doing it my way, we're not in agreement, and guess what? I'm not moving on your behalf. This right here is true today. You can't be in disagreement with God and expect Him to just pour out the blessings. It doesn't work that way. Well, then he starts saying some things that are really obvious. Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he have taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin is laid for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city and the Lord hath not done it? This isn't saying God caused the evil. And I don't have time to break down the Hebrew words here. We have to move on. He says, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. The lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord God hath spoken, who can but prophesy? So what we're seeing here is God declaring to us, here's my word. Now we have it all together in one book called the Bible. God has given us his word. So then, from God's perspective, he could say, all right, you have a Bible. That is me speaking to you. I, the Lord God, has spoken. Who can but prophesy? In other words, if you want to be in total agreement with him, one of the things that we need to do is prophesy or declare his word. Speak it. Declare his word. Now, look over in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 62. Isaiah chapter 62. And here in Isaiah 62, just take a look at verses 6 and 7. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day or nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest, till he establish, and till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. This is a declaration to those who call themselves believers, ye that make mention of the Lord. Keep not silence. Keep not silence. Give him no rest till he establish, till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. This is a directive to us as the body of Christ. He says, keep not silence. And so, what do you have? A lot of Christians out there who say, well, I don't believe in all this confession stuff. Well, confession is supposed to be a declaration of the Word of God. So you're telling me that you don't believe speaking the Word of God works. Is that what you're saying? Well, see, that's totally opposite of what God has instructed in His Word. Because when He says, those of you that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, what is it that He wants us to do? Declare His truth. Declare His Word. And He says, give him no rest. Now, granted, you're not going to irritate God by declaring his word. He's using this symbolically. And what he's saying is, you keep declaring, you keep declaring, you keep speaking, you keep speaking, you keep speaking. In earthly terms, you're irritating God, but not really, because he's the one that says, keep not silence. He's trying to get it across to you. You keep confessing, you keep confessing, continue declaring my word, my truth, and you're going to see me move. And it's not that we keep speaking until finally God says, oh my goodness, these people just are, they won't back down. What is wrong with them? I better move, or I've got other things in other places in the world that I got to deal with, and they won't leave me alone. They're distracting me. I'm trying to get some people healed. No, it's not like that. He's trying to get across to us the need for the words of our mouth to line up with what he has said. He's letting us know that the declaration of his word results in change. And he says here, till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Okay, relative to what we're going through here in the United States, you do understand there are some countries, the leadership in these countries are laughing at us. You do understand there are some countries who have hacked into various government computers, and they've done this and they've done that, and they're laughing at us. Because there is this, for a lot of people, a lot of citizens of the United States, there is this crazy arrogance that you can't touch us because we're the United States. And yet we're being touched. We're being invaded You know what? A lot of Christians, a lot of people, citizens in the United States, they're thinking warfare of here come the boats, here come the planes, here come the soldiers. There's a different kind of warfare now. Cyber warfare. We have been invaded by foreign powers through the internet. Acts of war. But we don't see it like this. We're waiting for the paratroopers to drop down like we've seen in the movies. And these countries are laughing at us and they're saying, you don't get it. We're already on your shores. We're already there. And you people, you don't understand that. And then when you find folks in this country, politicians, who will come into agreement with what these other countries are doing, okay, you're talking about a crime punishable by death according to our laws. Now, in this, we're supposed to be making these declarations. We're supposed to be speaking. Now, what is it we're supposed to be speaking? We're supposed to be engaged in prophetic warfare, which is declaring the Word of God. Now turn over to Psalm chapter 10. Psalm chapter 10. And take a look here. Beginning in... let's just begin in verse 1. Now, before we read this, we're going to read this, and then we're going over to another psalm and begin to read. When you read this, do not read it as being something that, it happened 2,500 years ago, 3,000 years ago. I want you to read this as though you are reading something from God about what's happening now. Okay? Verse 1. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? Have any of you thought this? I don't mean like tonight, but I mean at some point, have you felt like, God, where's God? You know, why isn't He doing something about this? Why isn't He moving? And no, verse 2. The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. Are we not seeing boasting going on in this country right now? The wicked boasting. Absolutely we are. He said, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not at all in his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. Or in other words, he makes fun of them. He laughs at them. He criticizes them. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. That phrase, under his tongue, it's kind partly the imagery of secretly doing things. You know, like whispering these plans, this deceit. He sitteth in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places doth he murder the innocent. There's abortion. His eyes are privily or privately set against the poor. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him into his net. He croucheth and humbleth himself that the poor may fall by his strong ones. He has said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thine hand. Forget not the humble. Wherefore doth the wicked condemn God? He has said in his heart, thou wilt not require it. In other words, God's not going to hold me accountable for this. Thou hast seen it, for thou beholdest the mischief and spite to requite it with thy hand. The poor committeth himself unto thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless. Break thou the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness till thou find none. In other words, expose it, expose it, expose it, until it's all out in the open. The Lord is king forever and ever. The heathen are perished out of his land. The Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear, to judge the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may no more oppress, but the man of the earth, the earthly minded, the lovers of this world more than lovers of God. Now notice where he says in verse 15, break thou the arm of the wicked. What we're going to see tonight is not only this that we've just seen, but you're going to see things about like breaking teeth and so forth. And if you don't understand what's being said, you're going to think, well, good heavens, you mean God's going to send angels down here to like start cutting body parts off of people? No, that's not what this is talking about. When it talks about break the arm, it's talking about that break their strength, break their ability to continue doing what they've been doing. And when it talks about like breaking their teeth, it's not talking about knocking their teeth out so they have to wear dentures. No, what it's talking about is, the imagery is this, of breaking out the teeth of a vicious lion so it can no longer shred you and devour you with its teeth. Okay? In other words, render the enemy ineffective in his want and desire to destroy. Okay, now, David has said, God, here's what's going on. And this is, you'd have to be kind of blind not to realize the parallels between what's written here and what's happening in this nation and really the world. And then he says, break their arm. Break their arm. Deal with it. God, you do it. Okay, but now let's look someplace else. Look in Psalm 83. Psalm 83. And begin in verse 1. And again, you'll see the parallels. Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people, and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come, and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. Now again, this is symbolic. What's happening right now is the wicked ones that he's talking about here, you know, your enemies, they rise up in tumult, they that hate thee. What they're trying to do is literally eliminate Christianity and those standards in this nation. He says, verse 5, for they have consulted together with one consent, they are confederate against thee. That's describing a conspiracy. The tabernacles of Edom and the Ishmaelites, of Moab and the Hagarenes, Gebal and Ammon, the Amalek, the Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre, Asher also is joined with them, and they have helped the children of Lot. Do unto them as unto the Midianites, as to Sisera, as to Jabin at the brook of Kishon, which perished at Endor. They became as dung for the earth. Make their nobles like Oreb and like Zeb, yea, all their princes as Zeba and as Zalmunna, who said, let us take to ourselves the houses of God in possession. O my God, make them like a wheel, as the stubble before the wind, as the fire burneth wood, and as the flame setteth the mountains on fire, so persecute them with thy tempest, and make them afraid with thy storm. Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek thy name, O Lord. Let them be confounded and troubled forever. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. And you thought David was this cute little guy sitting on a hillside under a tree, you know, plucking his harp, singing to his sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, oh yes. Instead, you know, he's saying, make them a stubble, persecute them. He's getting with it. And this part here where he says, make them, where is it, as a wheel. You see this? Well, we read it here just a moment ago. 13? Yeah, oh God, oh my God, make them like a wheel. What that means is, in the Hebrew, it's talking about like make them like a loose wheel that is unstable, that cannot make progress. Now, as I was reading this, And he goes through here and he talks about, verse 6, Edom, the Ishmaelites, Moab, the Hagarenes, Gebel, and he goes through and he lists all these people who are doing all these things, all these nations who are doing all these things. And as I'm reading this, the Lord said, for our time right now, this is symbolic of all of the liberal politicians, it doesn't matter, they can be Democrat, they can be Republican, or they can be none of the above. This represents all those liberal politicians, the liberal networks, the liberal publications, those major corporations, the liberal millionaires and billionaires, the social media outlets. You know what I'm talking about? This represents all of those people who are coming against the things of God, suppressing truth, doing everything they can to shut down anything related to the gospel of Jesus Christ, calling it hate speech, all this stuff. And he said, God was dealing with me, and he says, you have to deal with it the same way David dealt with it. Now, what did David do? He spoke against them. He didn't necessarily get his army and go and attack them. He declared the word against them. Now, what's the goal of this? Look here. Verse 16, fill their faces with shame that they may seek thy name, O Lord. In other words, this whole thing about prophetic warfare, it's not simply about devastating people the way that he said here. It's a matter of, yeah, devastation, so that they come to their senses like the prodigal son and call upon the name of the Lord. Because see, until something happens, guys, they're just going to keep going. You can stand up and say, now God loves you and this isn't right. And they'll just look at you and smile and thank you for your time and then keep doing what they've been doing. It's not going to change. Look, this is what you have to get through your head. It's not going to change. If it were, it would have. It's just gotten worse. So we have to take up the weapons of our warfare, which are mighty through God. And we have to follow this pattern that David has established here in the Word. He begins saying all these terrible things. You know, as a fire burneth the wood and as a flame setteth the mountains on fire, so persecute them with thy tempest. Now, that doesn't sound loving. It really doesn't. But this is where we've got to understand. They are the enemies of God. We've seen that in the New Testament, and now we're seeing it right here at the beginning of Psalm 83. He says, they're your enemies, God. They're your enemies. So then what we have to do is follow that same pattern. Prophetic warfare is the declaration of God's word against His enemies. Now, what I'm going to do is lead you in some confessions. I'm going to put them on the screen. We're going to read them together. Now, as we do this, there's one thing to keep in mind. This is not simply about... This isn't exclusively about causing people trouble. It's about let this judgment fall upon them. Because if you go through the Old Testament, you're going to find where God told a prophetic voice to make a declaration, and the prophetic voice made the declaration, and then God moved and the stuff happened. It's the same thing today. The same thing today. We have to be willing to watch bad things happen to a lot of people for the cause of Christ. And you say, that sounds so counterproductive. Go back and listen to the message from this morning. Go back and see how Jesus did it. He didn't try to cast out the devils from the religious leaders, but he's calling them hypocrites. He says, you're the children of the devil. How are you going to escape the damnation of hell? How? In other words, you guys are going there. And yet, he still went to the cross for them. But it was up to them whether or not they wanted to follow through. And some of them probably did. But a lot of them didn't. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through and I'm going to lead you in some confessions. And as we do this, you're going to see the scripture or the chapter in white and then the declarations in yellow. You're not going to see the chapter and verse. And the reason for that is this. I really would encourage you to go back and read the chapters because a printout of what we're going to read is going to be available here at the end of this service. And you'll also be able to download it as a PDF from the website next to the MP3 of this sermon. It won't be next to the video. It'll be next to the MP3. And this is just a sampling. What we're going to see tonight is just a sampling exclusive from the book of Psalms. If you go through the book of Psalms, you're going to see this over and over and over and over again. Again, you know, we have this idea that David was this nice little sweet guy. He was a man of war. Oh, he was a man of praise and worship. But everything that we're going to read tonight, it comes directly from the book of Psalms. Now, when it comes to making these kind of declarations, you have to identify who it is you're coming against. These declarations tonight, in fact, you can actually make it like a prayer. You know, Father, what we're getting ready to declare is prophetic warfare against your enemies. These are the people in this country who have done everything they thought would work to bring about an election in their favor, which ultimately would bring about the downfall of this country. And Father, we're taking a stand against this tonight. We are going to declare your word and engage the enemy in warfare. Your word, you said, when it goes forth, it won't return void. It will accomplish what you want. And so, Father, we're asking you to move as we declare your word, just as you have over and over again in Scripture. We stand here today as your prophetic voice in this world to engage in prophetic warfare through these declarations. Now, for those of you who sat listening to me say that, I didn't have my head bowed and my eyes closed. That was a prayer for what we're getting ready to do right now. That's how you pray before you start making these confessions. So, and you can begin to read this with me. The heathen rage and their leaders take counsel against your righteousness, O God. They imagine ways to stop your kingdom and revival. They oppose your holiness and your word. Laugh at them, God. Have them in derision. Vex them in your wrath and sore displeasure. Smite them upon the cheekbone and break the teeth of the ungodly. Destroy them that speak lies and deception. They have rebelled against you. Let their false counsel be exposed and may it lead to their utter downfall. Let them be publicly shamed and humiliated. Let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end. May their mischief return unto them and their lies and violent dealings come down upon their own heads. May they be turned back, fall and perish in your presence. Rebuke them, O God, and deal with them as you have dealt with the wicked throughout history. May there be no honorable memory of them. May they be snared in their own plans and in the work of their own hands. Let them not prevail. Put them in fear and judge them that they may be an example to all others of what happens when people choose such behavior. Let their plans for evil be the very things which result in their downfall. Break their strength and influence. Expose their wickedness for all to see. May snares, fire, brimstone, and a horrible tempest be the portion of their cup as you rain it upon them. Cut off all the flattering lips and pride-filled tongues that they no longer have influence. May their sorrows be multiplied. for they have hastened after another god. Prevent their further influence and cast them down. May the world see that you are our deliverer. They are your enemies, Lord, and they hate you. They have intended... Apparently it's jammed up, so let me just read this and you repeat after me. They have intended evil against you and our country. Make them as a fiery oven in your anger. Swallow them up in your wrath. And may your fire devour them. May the fruit of what they have accomplished wither and die. They regard not your works, nor your word, nor your great accomplishments in our nation. Give them according to their deeds, and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them after the work of their hands. Render to them their judgment due. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Make their leaders unstable like a loose wheel. May they be as stubble before the wind. Persecute them with your holy fire, and may the fear of you fill their hearts. Fill their faces with shame until they seek your name. Let them be confounded and troubled as long as they oppose you. May they come to the place that they know and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, and that you are the Most High over all the earth. Praise God. And like I said, that is just a sample. I don't know why this jammed up here, but that is just a sample of what can be declared. That's a way of doing prophetic warfare through these declarations. Now, turn in your Bibles to Psalm 18. Psalm 18. Now, here in Psalm 18, this is a declaration by us, a prophetic declaration by us about ourselves. Now we're going to pick this up in verse 30. As now you go ahead and if you've got Psalm 18 open, read along with me. And you're speaking this over yourself. In beginning in verse 30. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust Him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them, neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them, that they were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet. Thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They cried, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord, but He answered them not. Then did I beat them small as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as the dirt in the streets. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people, and Thou hast made me the head of the heathen, a people whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves to me. The strangers shall fade away and be afraid out of their close places. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God that avengeth me and subdueth the people under me. He delivereth me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Glory to God. Praise you, Jesus. Do you see what's happening here? In this passage, we are declaring what God has done for us. We are declaring how we engaged the enemy in warfare. We are declaring the victory. And then when we talk about how that you know, it is God that avenges me in verse 47, what this means is I have spoken, I have declared, and God has moved in line with my declarations. Our confessions that we just made, that God has moved, and because of this, the enemies have been subdued. The enemies have been brought down. They have been stopped, and God is being exalted in the process. This is how we do prophetic warfare. And then if you look over in Psalm 149, Psalm 149, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and His praise in the congregation of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in Him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King. Let them praise His name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto Him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in His people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hands, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all His saints. Praise ye the Lord. You seal the deal with worship. Hallelujah. Everybody stand. Bless your name, Jesus. 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 Glory and honor to you, Lord. The liberals are defeated. Their plans are exposed. They are stopped. They are shut down. Righteousness reigns in this nation. Righteousness rules. Jesus Christ is Lord. The God of glory is exalted in this country. The enemies of God are stopped. They are shut down. We praise you, Jesus. We glorify you. We worship you, Lord. Praise and honor unto you, Jesus. Praise and honor unto you, Jesus. We love you. We bless you. We honor you. We honor you. We honor you, Father. We honor you, Jesus. We praise you, O God, for working with your word and going forth as the avenger and doing a great work on behalf of your word and your kingdom. These things have been stopped. All of the lying, all of the planning, all of the deceit, it is exposed. It is brought to light. And there is a great shame upon these people who have conspired to do these things. If imprisonment is what is good, let it happen, Father. Let it happen. Let it happen. We will not stand by and let this country be overrun and overruled by the godless. We will stand and we will fight. We praise you for victory, Father, in Jesus' name. Praise you. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Bless your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory and honor to you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We bless your holy name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. As I mentioned, those confessions that we made here just a little bit ago, copies of those are going to be up here. There will be some on this side of the altar. There will be some on the other. If you want to come and get some, you can. This is just, like I said, an example. If you go through the book of Psalms, you can create a whole lot more. And you don't just get mad at your neighbor because of their yapping dog and start confessing these things over them. No, that's not what this is about. This is about dealing with the enemies of Christ, the enemies of the cross, the enemies of God, the enemies of righteousness. That's what this is about. Father, you know, I thank you so much for this. I thank you for your word. Praise God. And if we don't do this, folks, who will? If we don't take the stand, who will? Who will? Now, I know that this, the message Wednesday, this morning and tonight, for some might be a little controversial because we've not heard a lot of this. And yet, if you go through the book of Psalms over and over again, you're going to see where David, he praises God, he worships God, but then he makes these declarations. God do this, God do that, God bring them down, let them die. God do this. This is Scripture. This is Scripture. And this concept, this kind of spiritual warfare, prophetic warfare, it works today as well.